The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 421 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. That's a great way to interact with the show on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. We have a lot to get to, a lot of topics to cover. Game 5 of the NBA Finals got a whole lot more interesting to me with the news Sunday that Draymond Green is suspended. If he's playing, I don't think anybody felt confident in Cleveland going to Golden State and winning. But now that he's out, I think the Cavs have a shot. Am I telling you this is a lock? They're going to win it? No. They're still the road dog, but they have a better chance. I think we all agree there. Back in December, the Penguins were near the bottom of the standings. They were on the road to nowhere. So they fire their head coach, Mike Johnston. They let general manager Jim Rutherford work his magic. New coach Mike Sullivan deserves a lot of credit too. And now they're drinking out of Lord Stanley's cup. What a turnaround in Pittsburgh. Within 1 week, we lost Muhammad Ali and Gordie Howe, two icons in their respective sports. I spent a lot of time talking about Ali's career, both in and out of the ring, on last week's podcast. Today, I'll focus on Gordie Howe, one of the true legends of the game. Mr. Hockey passed away on Friday at the age of 88. There were no NBA or NHL games Saturday night, so if you're like me, you tuned into the U.S. soccer game versus Paraguay. I'm glad the U.S. came out on top, but I'll be honest, I really was not that impressed with the 1-0 victory. Or is it 1-0? Paraguay is ranked 44th in the world. It's not like we beat Argentina or Germany here. I'll also look ahead to the quarterfinals. And as far as the Belmont Stakes, you know I like to play the ponies this time of year. Not a whole lot of buzz for the Belmont. Triple Crown wasn't on the line. But man, did we get one heck of a race. It was a photo finish with a 16-1 shot winning by nose. And if you do follow me on Twitter and you use my picks, you should have won a few bucks. You should be smiling today. Of course, I decided not to bet the race, so I won two things, Jack and Squat. Story of my life. Thanks for tuning in. This is episode number 421 of the Sports Report. 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy, opinionated sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. We're with you every Monday on The Grizz, grizzlyproductions.tv, and of course in the podcast section of iTunes. If you have a second, please keep those 5-star reviews coming there. Love to see those on iTunes. The Warriors can wrap up the NBA Finals tonight. They're at home, but they're going to have to do it without one of their best players. Draymond Green was given a flagrant 1 foul for hitting LeBron James. Well, let's just say the groin. That happened in game 4. Is it just me, or are we talking a lot more this season about NBA players hitting or kicking each other in the area you don't want to be hit or kick? I mean, what is going on this year? Anywho, that gave Green his 4th flagrant foul point of the playoffs, which means an automatic suspension. So Green's out for game 5. Golden State is up 3-1. You probably recall Green kicking OKC center Steven Adams in the old family jewels during the Western Conference Finals. He also got a flagrant for throwing down Michael Beasley of Houston in the first round. In the case of the kick to Adams, I thought Green was flailing to get a foul call. We see three-point shooters all the time kick their legs out nowadays. They're trying to get calls. That, unfortunately, is where the game has gone. There's way too much flopping. There's way too much flailing around. These NBA players, who are tremendous athletes, they look like fish out of water because they're so desperate to get a foul call. I don't think there is any defense of what Green did to LeBron in Game 4 on Friday. LeBron stepped over Green, which I get. That is insulting to any player, especially somebody as competitive, as fiery as Draymond Green. But Draymond knew the situation. He knew where his points were as far as flagrant fouls, and he had to avoid that. And he didn't. Gotta be smarter than that. Draymond swiped at LeBron. You can clearly see it. And he hit him between the legs with the back of his hand. There is no denying that. So I have no problem with the NBA's ruling of a flagrant one. You may disagree, and that's fine. You can tell me why on Twitter. Again, I'm at the Sports RPT. Agree, disagree, you can chime in. But I'm not going to rip the NBA for this decision. You can see the slap. The question now is, can Cleveland extend this series to a game 6, which would be Thursday, back in Ohio? You have to think their odds improve with Green out of the lineup, right? The line in Vegas, however, did not drop a whole heck of a lot. I checked it Sunday night. It was from 6.5 down to 5.5. So it dropped a point. I thought it might drop a little bit more because Green is so valuable to this team. He is a triple-double waiting to happen. He's one of those guys that just stuffs the box score. Great fantasy player. During the regular season, Green averaged 14 points, 9.5 rebounds, and 7.5 assists. That is big-time productivity. Plus, on top of that, he defends multiple positions. He's 6'7", he's 6'8", so he can guard different guys out there. And he gives LeBron trouble. I mean, we all know that. And how about the performance in Game 2 against the Cavs? 28 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and he shot 5 of 8 from 3-point land. You don't expect to see Draymond Green banging threes. That's why they have the Splash Brothers. But he certainly did in Game 2. He won them that game. Golden State is a very deep team. But I don't think you just replace a guy with the versatility of Green, who can do a little bit of everything. And that's why I think the suspension makes Game 5 a heck of a lot more intriguing. The Cavs still have issues. We know that. Heck, they went scoreless for 6.5 minutes in the fourth quarter on Friday. I mean, that is half of a quarter, and you don't score a point? You're in the NBA Finals? I mean, don't you make a bucket by accident? And Golden State knocked down 17 three-pointers. That's a finals record. If they're shooting like that, forget it. Steph Curry bounced back. He had 38 after a very lackluster Game 3 where he seemed in a daze, in a fog, like he was out of it. Aloof is the word that I keep coming back to for Game 3. It was like he was distracted by something off the court. Very strange to see from a player like Curry, who's normally locked in. And we should not forget that the Warriors did win the first two games of the series on their home court by 15 and 38. Two wins by a combined 48 points. So like I said, Golden State's the favorite, rightfully so. But without Green, they're not the same team. And I'm hoping it's competitive. I'm sick and tired of blowout after blowout after blowout. I really am. If it ends tonight and the Warriors go back-to-back, can we at least get a close game tonight? Please. Who do you like in Game 5? Warriors or Cavs? Let me know on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. Of course, we all know no team has come back from a 3-1 deficit in the NBA Finals. But I just want to see a Game 6. I want to see it go back to Cleveland and see what happens there. And I don't want another route. I don't. Let me know what you're thinking on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. This is episode number 421. A lot more to get to. We'll talk about the Penguins, Gordie Howe, U.S. Soccer, the Belmont. But first, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, and they've been with the show for a long time, and that is iHome. iHome has a new weather-tough line of Bluetooth speakers. They are waterproof, they are rust-proof, and they're military-standard shock-proof. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines great value and exceptional quality. iHome also offers a full line of headphones and earbuds for the fitness guru, the traveler, and hey, summer's here, more people are traveling. Or if you just need some new headphones or earbuds for hanging out at home and relaxing, they have them at iHomeAudio.com. You can check out all of their apps, their accessories, and iHome's the number one brand in digital speakers. The sound quality can't be beat. Their products look sharp and they sound terrific. The website again, iHomeAudio.com. We're back on episode number 421 of the Sports Report. Thanks so much for tuning in. Let's get to hockey here. Penguins fans were really, really hoping they could wrap up the Stanley Cup final at home. Something, for whatever reason, they've never been able to do. They had a chance in Game 5, and that was a crazy game. That was a wild one. San Jose lit the lamp twice in the first 3 minutes. Then the Penguins scored a pair of goals in 22 seconds. So now we're back even, tied up. But Sharks goalie Martin Jones stood on his head. He was incredible. And San Jose got out of Pittsburgh with a 4-2 victory. I thought all along, and you've heard me say this for months, that Pittsburgh was the best team that I had seen. Now, I follow the Eastern Conference a lot more closely than the West because I'm on the East Coast about an hour from Philly. But the Penguins, to me, early in this series, proved they were the better team. The faster team, more skilled team. They also have a history of failing to close out playoff series. 2010, blew a 3-2 lead against Montreal. 2011, blew a 3-1 lead versus Tampa Bay. 2014, they coughed up another 3-1 lead, this time against the Rangers. Not a good history. So last night, they had to try to polish off the Sharks in San Jose, where they're very, very tough to beat. That building rocks. Those fans do a great job. You don't think San Jose and hockey, right? But man, oh man, does it get loud in there. And I think if the Sharks would have scored first, Game 6 would have been a lot more interesting. I don't know that San Jose wins the game, but I would have liked to have seen how Game 6 plays out if San Jose scores first. The Penguins took the lead, though, 8 minutes into the game. Pittsburgh's Brian Dumoulin scored a power play goal on a long slap shot, his second of the postseason. I thought it was a bit of a softie, to be honest. Logan Couture tied it up 6.5 minutes into the second period. Couture was simply phenomenal during the playoffs. 10 goals and 30 points. That is rare air to get to the 30-point mark in one postseason. The Sharks could not keep the momentum, though, because a little over a minute later, Chris Letang came through with the go-ahead goal. Sharp angle goal. That was huge right there. Took the air out of the Sharks' balloon. And then Pittsburgh just slammed the door in the third period. San Jose only got off one shot in the first 19 minutes of the third period. Unreal. Late in the game, Sidney Crosby blocks a shot. Patrick Hornquist wound up with an empty netter with 1 minute to play, and that iced it. 3-1 was the final. Crosby had 2 assists. Pittsburgh outshot San Jose 27-19. The Sharks were held to 4 shots in the first period and just 2 in the third period. That is amazing defense from the Penguins. Matt Murray only had to make 18 saves. He was lights out after losses in the playoffs. He bounced back really, really well. Not too bad for a 22-year-old rookie who only played in 13 regular season games. I mean, talk about getting thrown into the fire. That was Matt Murray, and he was great. Both goalies were impressive during the playoffs. Jones was spectacular at times. However, I did not think Game 6 was his best. Both those goals, I think, could have been stopped before the empty netter. In the end, the better overall team won the Stanley Cup. Pittsburgh had a lot more shots, a lot more scoring chances through the six-game series. They earned this championship. It's Pittsburgh's fourth Stanley Cup championship, first since 2009. You go back 7 years, and it seemed like Crosby and company are going to be in the final every year. Now Crosby, who did win the Conn Smythe Trophy, realizes exactly how tough it is. His coach, Mike Sullivan, said that Crosby is now one of the best to ever play the game. He wasn't just talking about his era. He's talking about all time. Crosby's only 28. He already has two cups. What do you think about that statement from Mike Sullivan? One of the best ever. Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. As I mentioned earlier, general manager Jim Rutherford did a great job. Really did. He put together that HBK line with Hagelin, Bonino, and Kessel. Kessel, the former Leaf, led Pittsburgh with 22 points this postseason. What a pickup he was. This team was in the dumps in December, and now they're champs. What a turnaround. Party time in Pittsburgh. I'm on Twitter at the Sports RPT for Penguins fans. You want to weigh in? And also, what do you think about the coach's comment that Sid the Kid is one of the best ever? The Sports RPT is my handle on Twitter. We'll get to soccer in a minute and talk a little bit about the Belmont, but let's go to Gordie Howe here. When you start throwing around the names as to who is the best player of all time, there is no doubt that Gordie Howe's name is on the short list. With guys like Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux, the Penguins owner, and Bobby Orr and Bobby Hall, that's a short list right there. There are certainly others that come to mind. Sadly, Howe passed away on Friday at the age of 88. First Muhammad Ali and then Gordie Howe, both are on the Mount Rushmore in their sports. What stands out to me is the longevity of Howe's career. He broke into the NHL with Detroit in 1946 at the age of 18. He retired after the 79-80 season with Hartford when he was 52. Started at 18, retires at 52. Wow. And that last season with the Whalers, he scored 15 goals. 15. Think about that. The man's in his 50s, and he's still scoring goals in the NHL. At that point, he was playing alongside his sons, Mark and Marty. When Gordie finally hung up his skates, he was first all-time in goals, first in assists, first in points in NHL history. And that guy, you may have heard of him, named Gretzky, came along and eventually passed him. Howe still ranks second in goals with 801, and that's just from his NHL days. He also had 174 goals in the old World Hockey Association. He's currently fourth in NHL history in points, 1,850. Won four Stanley Cup championships with the Red Wings in the early to mid-50s. He won six Hart trophies as MVP, six Art Ross trophies as the league's leading scorer. A lot of hardware in the old trophy case. Only Gretzky was named MVP more times than Gordie Howe. Gretzky was MVP nine times, Howe six. Howe appeared in a record 23 All-Star games. Jeez. Of course, we've all heard the Gordie Howe hat trick, right? A goal, an assist, and a fight. So he was that combination of physicality and skill. He was 6 feet tall, 205. A lot of players back then feared him. Howe was not afraid to drop the old elbow. A rare talent, though, because he could also score better than anybody. I liked what Hall of Famer Phil Esposito said. Quote, Gordy was the greatest all-round player of all time. I saw him play forward and defense. I never saw him play goal, but I'm sure he could have. The funeral will be on Wednesday in Detroit. Visitation hours are 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Joe Louis Arena on Tuesday in honor of old number 9, Mr. Hockey. Your thoughts on Gordy Howe are welcome on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT on Twitter. To soccer now, here on episode number 421 of the Sports Report. Thanks again for tuning in. The U.S. opened the Copa America with a disappointing 2-0 loss to Colombia, and a lot of people were upset about that. The Americans then came back, and they shut out Costa Rica 4-0. That set the stage for Saturday night in Philadelphia. No NHL game, no NBA game, so I was glued to this. The U.S. needed a win or draw versus Paraguay to advance to the quarterfinals for the first time since 1995. In the 11th minute, John Brooks, who's an up-and-coming defender, saved the U.S.'s bacon on a 3-on-1 for Paraguay. Brooks made a terrific last-second sliding tackle to prevent a shot from getting on net or pass across the cage, where there was a player wide open on the right side, could have just tapped it in for a goal. So, terrific effort by John Brooks. My question is, how on God's green earth does that happen in the first place? 3-on-1? I mean, you don't see that much in high school soccer. It should not be happening at this level. And although Clint Dempsey gave the U.S. a 1-0 lead in the 27th minute, I thought that Paraguay had more quality scoring chances overall. And this is a team ranked 44th in the world. This is not a powerhouse, far from it. And they were playing on U.S. soil. You'd think we'd have the home field advantage there. As for the goal by Dempsey, Zardes made a beautiful left-footed cross into the box. He had two defenders on him. He still made the play. Dempsey was trailing. I don't think Zardes really saw him, but right place, right time, and Dempsey drilled it from 8 yards out, got under the arm of the goalkeeper, 1-0. Dempsey's now up to 51 international goals, 6 behind Landon Donovan's American record. So he's getting close. Dempsey scored in 2 straight games. Early in the second half, DeAndre Yedlin just lost his mind for a span of a minute. A brain cramp of 57 seconds. He got not one, but 2 yellow cards. See ya. 2 yellows, you're sent off. The U.S. had to play with 10 men for 49 minutes. It's a bonehead decision there by Yedlin. Especially after you get the first. You have to be smarter than that. You have to be more conservative with your challenges. Time, score, situation. 3 things all athletes must understand and be aware of at all time. Time, score, situation. I harp on it all the time. Yedlin paid zero attention to the situation there, which was, hey, I already have 1 yellow. I can't get another. Then in the 82nd minute, Paraguay made things very interesting with a run down the right side. They got off 2 rapid-fire shots from the corner of the 6-yard box, but Brad Guzan made 2 big saves to preserve the shutout. That was a scary, scary moment for the United States. In the 88th minute, Paraguay had a goal waved off for being offside. That was an obvious call there. U.S. hung on with 10 men for a 1-0 victory. As it turned out, Costa Rica upset Colombia 3-2, so the United States won Group A. The U.S. will play in Seattle on Thursday in the quarterfinals. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that they advanced. I'm glad that they won the group. But on your home turf against an opponent like Paraguay, I was expecting a much better first half. Paraguay had too many scoring opportunities for my liking. That 3-on-1 could have been a disaster. Amazing that didn't end up in the back of the net. And that's not a great team that we just played. They weren't playing Germany and weren't playing Argentina or Spain there. The U.S. needs to be better moving forward. Next up is Ecuador, ranked 13th in the world, but certainly not a juggernaut. Ecuador went 1-0-2 in group play with a 4-0 win over Haiti on Sunday. Since 2000, the U.S. is 3-1-2 versus Ecuador. Pretty good record right there. So this is a winnable quarterfinal for the U.S. And before Sunday, it looked like the United States may have to play Brazil. But, and this is a fat Albert-sized but, Brazil lost 1-0 to Peru on a very controversial goal. A ball that hit the arm and went in. The officials discussed it, but they counted it for Peru. So Brazil is out. First time since 87, nearly 30 years, that Brazil did not get past the group stage. Wow. And all they needed was a draw. They didn't have to beat Peru. They just needed a draw, and they were moving forward. So let me ask you, are you into the Copa America? Scale of 1 to 10, 1, not at all, 10, definitely diehard soccer fan. Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT, TheSportsRPT. Yeah, I watched that Saturday, and then after that, I watched the new O.J. Simpson 30 for 30 on ABC, and then the rest of it's going to play out this week on ESPN. How good was that? I love the interviews with his childhood and high school friends. I mean, they really gave you know, the true story about O.J. Simpson. I never knew that his dad was gay. I never knew that. That was one of the bombshells in there. But I thought it was really, really well done. And that was just part one of five. So I'm looking forward to the rest of that series. This is episode 421 of the Sports Report. Paul Roberts with you on GrizzlyProductions.tv and in the podcast section of iTunes. To the ponies now in the 148th Belmont Stakes, about 60,000 in attendance in New York compared to 90,000 last year. And that's understandable because American Pharoah was going for the Triple Crown last year. Not the case this year. Nyquist, the Kentucky Derby winner, had a fever and ended up skipping the Belmont, and that meant that the Preakness winner, Exaggerator, was the big, big favorite. They were calling for rain, and Exaggerator loves the slop, but the rain held off until after the race. Surprise, surprise, they were wrong about the forecast. That never happens. It's a great job to have. You can be wrong all the time. People still listen to your every word. It's unbelievable. So I thought that even out the playing field, if it would have been a wet track, definitely you like Exaggerator. He was 9-5 on the morning line and then got bet down to about even money on Saturday, and he went off at 7-5, which was not a surprise. You know, I'm all about one word in horse racing, and it's value. Because favorites only win about a third of the time, and they don't pay. So I tweeted out, at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter, that a couple horses I like, three of them. One was Creator, one was Lonnie, and the other was Sudden Breaking News. I said, listen, no value in Exaggerator, so take a peek at Creator, Lonnie, and Sudden Breaking News. If you like long shots, the Belmont's your race, because these horses just aren't used to going a mile and a half, and that's why they call it the test of the champion. Anything can happen down the stretch in this race. And you saw that once again on Saturday. What a finish. Gettysburg went right to the front as expected. He was a late addition into the race with the sole purpose of setting the pace. Gettysburg is owned by Windstar Farm, as is Creator. Both horses are trained by Steve Asmussen. So they put him in there to set the pace, go out to the front. Asmussen, by the way, has got that Rob Ryan look going. The long gray hair. Did you notice that? He's going to be inducted into the Horse Racing Hall of Fame this summer. Gettysburg actually did not go out that fast. I thought he'd set a faster pace. Destin went out to the front with Seeking the Soul, a big long shot, and Gettysburg. So those are your first three. Exaggerator settled in fourth on the outside. Now, he was placed four wide, which I think hurt him in the big picture. He used a lot of energy being out four wide like that. Gettysburg faded as anticipated after about a mile. Destin went to the lead with Javier Castellano on board. Destin trained by Todd Pletcher, one of the best trainers in the business. Both Destin and Creator ran in the Kentucky Derby, and then they skipped the Preakness so they would be fresh for the Belmont. Creator won the Arkansas Derby, which is a big race, but then he was a total non-factor in the Kentucky Derby. Destin was sixth in the Kentucky Derby, and it looked like he was going to take the Belmont, really did. But Creator made a huge move right down the middle of the track. And credit to his jockey, Irad Ortiz Jr., he waited, very patient, sat back until the home stretch. And then he got a clear path and he took it. Big move. And if you go back to the Arkansas Derby, this horse, Creator, went from dead last to first with a big finishing kick. You have to look for closers in the Belmont because it is such a long race. Creator and Destin were neck and neck at the wire. It was a tremendous finish. I couldn't tell watching it live. In real time, I really wasn't sure who won the race. It was a true photo finish. And you could see that Creator literally won the race by a nose. I mean, it can't get any closer than that. The winning time for Creator was 2:28. Again, he was 16-1. So if you took him to win, you're pretty happy right now. And I have to give my buddy Mark Malusis credit because he tipped me off about Creator. Mark is a big horse racing guy. He's on the radio in New York and on a CBS radio. Really good guy. Loves to talk horse racing. So he let me know about Creator. Creator won, Destin was second, and then good old Lonnie from Japan came on late to take third. So, of the three horses that I gave you on Twitter, one of them won and the other was third. And, you know, it's not too shabby, right? I usually do okay in the Belmont. Of the three Triple Crown races, that's the best for me because I like long shots or value picks. This is where you can do well with that. Exaggerated the favorite finished well back in 11th place. Not a factor in this one. The Exacta paid $269. The Trifecta paid $27.51. And the Super was worth nearly $28,000. The number one horse, Governor Malibu, took fourth. So a big payday there. Big picture, no Triple Crown winner this year, unlike last year. We had three different winners, but we did get to see one unbelievable finish in the Belmont. So I thought that was worth it. And hey, it's hard to win the Triple Crown. There's a reason that it took forever for American Pharoah to do that. Not easy, especially you have to come back with the Belmont at a mile and a half. So if you follow me on Twitter and you want a few bucks, send your donations to... No, just kidding. Have a brewski on me. Have a great week, everybody. Get outside, enjoy the weather. Things warming up a little bit. Let me know what you think about all the topics we covered from the Cavs-Warriors series and Draymond Green suspension to the Penguins and Sidney Crosby is one of the game's great, Gordie Howe, the Belmont, the U.S. soccer team. You can weigh in on Twitter at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT. Thanks again for listening. Spread the word about the podcast. I'm with you every Monday, 30 to 40 minutes without the homerism that you're used to. This has been episode number 421 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.